Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are going to talk about recent polls out there showing that people have nostalgia for Trump's term, for Trump's presidency. And also, Uncle James Biden, Fredo, is back in the news. There's more updates from this Politico piece that came out Sunday. This is how it tends to go. It was a longer piece, so certain things get picked up and, you know, make headlines. And this one's really amusing, so we will talk about it. But I wanted to go back to something. We just played the end of that Joe Scarborough cut where he goes on a very, very factual, which is out of bounds for Morning Joe. I don't even know if that's allowed. I'm surprised Mika didn't say, cut the feed. Cut the feed, guys. This is getting out of control. But he goes on a really on-point rant about these nuts at the college campuses and how they've taken over. And then at the very end, just to bookend it, he says, and this is why Donald Trump's going to get reelected, or it seems like they want to reelect Donald Trump. And it does depress me that they have such, the people on the left have such blinders. Like, I've accepted it at this point. But sometimes you do have an issue where it should be bipartisan. There should be an element of our civilization, our society as we know it, is kind of hanging on by a thread. When you have a bunch of highly educated, and you can take that, you know, playing fast and loose with that term at this point, but you have a bunch of these spoiled brats who have had every opportunity. You know, talk about the country they grew up in, the land of opportunity, but also just been pampered. And I can't speak for every single one of them, but a lot of them have been pampered their entire lives, and they turn around and they go to one of the most ancient forms of hatred, which is anti-Semitism. And it's depressing to me that the moral of that story, if you ask people on MSNBC, is we don't want Donald Trump to get elected. And the reason I bring this up is because we've had so many great guests on over the last couple months, if I do say so myself. And they can all speak to different parts of this problem. Ben Weingarten, for example, he can go into the petri dish of radicalism at all of these institutions, K through 12, the indoctrination of these young people. He can talk about the progressive agenda and the ideology that has pervaded our federal agencies, especially in the 8 years of the Obama administration, playing footsie with Iran, how that's played out for us. If you talk to Ari Hoffman, he can discuss the history of anti-Semitism, why the Jews have been made scapegoats for different societies throughout history. You can have all these discussions about the actual problem. And then if you go to Joe Scarborough, if you go to James Carville, you go to these people, they boil it down to, we can't lose another, we can't lose an election or else democracy will cease to exist. They don't try to explain anything. They don't think that the people, the independents, the moderates who are watching this in horror, by the way, forget if you're a Joe Biden fan or a Trump fan, regular people are watching this and saying, WTF. They don't feel as though those people deserve an explanation or those people deserve to have their concerns heard. They want to yell at those people and say, get back in line, because if you don't do this, if you don't go along with these mobs of nuts, then you're going to elect Donald Trump, as if that's somehow worse than what we're dealing with right now. And that's the biggest lie. I mean, there's so many lies, but the idea that having Trump back in the White House is somehow going to be less normal than whatever this is. These hate rallies popping up at college campuses, that doesn't make sense. But I want to play Carville because it made me think of Albert Camus. He has this quote where he says, every revolutionary ends up either becoming an oppressor or a heretic. And these kids have become the oppressors. They don't think it. But when you see a student with a Jewish, with a Star of David trying to get to class, and you've got a bunch of people in masks surrounding him and telling him he can't go anywhere, and like Joe Scarborough said, pointing at people and saying October 7th is going to happen again, you're not the good guys. I got a spoiler alert. The history books that you're all so concerned about, paging John Meacham, where are you? Who's writing the history books on these crazy people? But play James Carville, because he is even less subtle than Joe Scarborough, if that's possible. This is Cut 13.
Are you kidding me? Is this the United States of America? Is this the nation that was founded on the principle that no person is above the law? And then you tell these young people, if you don't get involved right now in this election, they're going to be involved in your life for the rest of your frickin' life. And if Trump and Roberts and Alito and Gorsuch and Thomas and Leonard Leo and the Heritage Foundation, if they get a hold, there will be no government left. There will be no rights left. You'll live under theocracy. You'll end up Christian nationalism. But that's all right, you little 26-year-old, you don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
I have so many questions, and I know this, I think he does a podcast now, so there's no one really to ask him these questions. But when these figures on the left come out and they throw out those terms like theocracy and authoritarianism and there's going to be no democracy, I just wish there was someone to say, what does that mean? Like, how? What about the first 4 years made you think that's going to happen this time? Because none of your predictions, you're all clairvoyants, but none of your predictions came true the first time. And now you're all trying to tell us you're all going to be thrown in jail. You know, no one's going to have any rights. All their rights are going to be stripped from them. It's going to be The Handmaid's Tale. I've heard this before. To quote Taylor Swift, I think I've seen this film before. And none of the stuff you said came true. So why should I believe you? What's different this time? What now can, how can you prove to me that, no, this time it's really going to happen? This time he's really going to put people in jail. What evidence do you have to suggest that? And of course, the answer is none. And they all just say the same thing over and over again. Now, speaking of blinders, Nancy Pelosi goes on with Katie Turr, okay? Now, Katie Turr somehow has developed the reputation of being a Trump apologist, which baffles me. Because if that's our Trump apologist, then who needs enemies? Like, if she's the best we can do for a Trump apologist in the mainstream media, we should start holding auditions for a new one, because she's not doing a great job. But anyway, she's interviewing Nancy Pelosi. And first, Nancy Pelosi, just follow this. First, she starts off talking about the importance of a free press and how they're supposed to inform the people. Then she starts pushing a spin on Joe Biden's jobs record, at which point Katie Turr decides to be a journalist and inform people of the spin she's pushing. And then she accuses her of being a Trump apologist. Do I have this right? This is the arc of how this clip goes. Take a listen to Cut 12.
Created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And he has the worst.
I don't think that anybody can accuse me of that.
And we, no, but let me just say.
She's a crank. You know what? I will say, when you get to that age and you're just snipping at people and being that cranky, she's never taken a question well. She's got thinner skin than Joe Biden, but it's time to hang it up. I would say about 20 years ago would have been ideal, but we'll take right now. It's time to wrap things up, Nancy. If you can't handle a little bit of pushback from Katie Turr, and the craziest part is, Jared, on Twitter, people are like, Nancy Pelosi owned that Trump apologist, Katie Turr. I don't think Katie Turr is MAGA. I don't know when this narrative was created, but I can assure you Katie Turr is not one of us. Okay, she's not like a right-wing agitator. She works at MSNBC, and she pushes Biden propaganda 24/7. I'm sorry she took a 30 seconds off to question Nancy Pelosi, but I wouldn't call her a Trump apologist. When we come back, we've got so much to get to. I want to talk about this Zelensky story, which in my opinion should be getting a lot more attention. So the media has gone from, and not just the media, the Biden administration, members of Congress, they quickly went from, we just need $61 billion to win this war, Ukraine versus Russia, to now $61 billion is not going to be enough. We need more. And Zelensky is letting us know, which is very kind of him to clue us in on this, that there's actually a 10-year plan as far as military aid goes. There's a 10-year plan in the making. And so I saw this today, and you know what I thought of? Over the summer, I was talking with this guy, and I was at a cookout, and he was telling me how his daughter went to a very fancy private high school in New England. And these high schools, they cost as much as college. They're very expensive. And he donated a lot of money for, I think it was like a new gymnasium or something. Wrote a big fat check to this school. And he said to me, and don't ask me how we got on this topic, but he said to me, you know, I found it very off-putting because they had an event to celebrate the opening of the gym that we all paid for. We all got there. We sat down, white tablecloth, you know, they were going to have a nice event to celebrate. And somebody got up from the school and started immediately lecturing us on how, while it's great that we have paid for the gym, this is just the beginning. We're not done yet. We need to fundraise for XYZ. And he said it was so strange to be sitting there going, can you give us like a night off but where you're not asking us to bring out our checkbooks? Like, we're here celebrating the building we all just paid for, and you can't give us a minute to soak it in? And that's what I keep thinking of. Every time Zelensky goes to give a thank you statement for the $61 billion, he ends the statement by saying, this is the rest of what I need. And of course, that's not actually what he needs. That's just the beginning of what he needs. What he needs, I guess, is going to go on for another 10 years. But if you haven't woken up to this, that there's no end in sight to these blank checks, then you should. It says Ukrainian President Zelensky revealed that the United States and Ukrainian governments are working on a bilateral security agreement that would result in sending additional monetary aid to Ukraine over the next 10 years. That's good to know. I wonder if anyone here was planning on telling us that. At least Zelensky is like openly talking about it. Zelensky noted he had spoken to House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, thanking him and all the congressmen for their support of Ukraine and for voting to send a $61 billion aid package out of a $95 billion foreign aid package. We are also working on fixing specific levels of support for this year and for the next 10 years, including arms support, financial, political, and joint arms production. Yeah, and don't forget, don't we also pay for like Social Security or pensions or something? Add that to the mix.
Yeah, the pensions. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's part of the 10-year plan. I would love to know our 10-year plan to pay for pensions in Ukraine. I would love to get the details on that. It says on top of, now Jared, this stuck out to me as well. It says, on top of the $61 billion in foreign aid recently approved by the U.S., The United Kingdom Prime Minister vowed to send an additional 500, I think it's 500 million in foreign aid to Ukraine. I actually don't know what the currency thing would be there, but I read that and I was like, is that even worth mentioning? Not to be rude, but when you compare it with the $61 billion we're giving, I have to believe that that's the second best offer here. You know when you donate to something and they put the big donors up top, and then at the end of the book, they'll list everybody?
That's like a suggested donation of $5 to enter the museum.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So compared to what we're giving, is that the second in the scoreboard here? Is the United Kingdom with 500 million? They would have been better off not telling me that. That stresses me out even more. Like, honestly, it would have been better if you gave nothing at that point. 500 million? No, and of course, I guess that doesn't make sense either, but still, it's like, that's worth a mention when you're comparing it to $61 billion. What do they want? Do they want a round of applause for that? The UK? Hey, thanks so much for pulling your weight.
Hey, we're buying lunch for the people on the front line. Come on, man.
This is insane. This is just insane. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls on this. Don't go anywhere.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. I was just talking to Melissa the other day at Perfect Smiles. They have the best team there. Everybody is so nice and so good at what they do. So call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE. Tell them I sent you or visit PerfectSmiles.com to check out the video testimonials. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is will Columbia cancel its graduation ceremony?
Yeah, I made this point earlier. I'm curious if people agree or disagree. I think the canceling it is less of a slap in the face to parents than putting it on Zoom. I think Zoom brings with it so many negative emotions because of COVID, where it's just going to remind parents of the last time you screwed them over. So I'm going to say that given the current state of Columbia that is overrun with the pro-Hamas contingency of the Democrat Party, I'm going to say they just cancel it outright.
83% of the audience agrees, yes, they will cancel the graduation ceremony.
So this is from Reuters yesterday. Ukraine's $61 billion lifeline is not enough. That's so weird, though, because when you were all telling us that we needed to get along or go along with it and that we should support the congressmen and women who support Ukraine, you were telling us that it was going to be like the magic fix. And now you're saying it's not enough. What happened in the last 48 hours? Dan, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Dan?
So, I just have a question.
Yeah.
When we give $61 billion to a country, how does it get delivered? Do we write a check to Vladimir? Do we load a couple of military planes with a bunch of pallets of hundreds? I mean, how does it get there?
No, so I think in some cases you send military equipment. In some cases, like with Israel, they buy military equipment from us. So it does depend. I know that we have given money to Ukraine, not just military equipment. And as far as the delivery goes, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about this, and she said she couldn't really say much about it because of security concerns, which I guess you can chalk up to her version of sources and methods. We don't want to jeopardize the investigation. But part of the delivery, and it's not the actual physical delivery, but the pomp and circumstance of it, is the hand delivering of the official tally of the vote approving the aid. And that was actually a Massachusetts congressman, Keating, who went to Ukraine.
Of course it was.
To give Vladimir Putin this piece of paper that shows that we've approved billions of dollars in foreign aid. And, you know, these are just one. There's been several of these photo op situations which leave me scratching my head. Like, I don't think it's necessary to send somebody all the way to Ukraine just so they can hand Zelensky a piece of paper. But I also didn't think it was necessary to have the president walking around Kyiv while sirens blasted, pretending that he was in some sort of danger. So no, maybe I'm not the best judge.
I'm sure it's a wire transfer of some kind that goes through 22 JRB Ware shell corporations before it gets to Zelensky.
10% for the big guy. You know what, Jared? You just inspired me. We'll talk Jim Biden. We'll switch it up here. We'll talk Jim Biden when we come back. Listed his job as brother of Joe in his resume. Don't go anywhere.
People are home more than ever, and now is the time to clean or update your home with Kennedy Carpet's new luxury vinyl flooring that looks as good as wood. Kennedy Carpet is an old-fashioned company that still answers their phones and sends out their flooring technicians and not a subcontractor. Find out all of the new flooring options they offer today in your home or visit their beautiful showrooms in Needham and Weymouth. 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY.
If you don't know about the recent Supreme Court decisions affecting Second Amendment rights, you should tune into Rapid Fire, our local 2A talk radio show, to learn more about the cases being brought to the Massachusetts court system. Join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. at rapidfireradio.us or search Rapid Fire on your favorite podcast network. At Cape Gunworks, we are responding to all 2A news. Go to rapidfireradio.us and give us a shot.
live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Discuss. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, leave, and get yourself free. Ooh, slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, stand.
You know, we were just talking about photo ops. And political stunts. And every time Donald Trump does something, I'm told by Karine Jean-Pierre that it's a political stunt, that it's a Republican like photo op, and there's nothing to it. You know who loves a stunt? You know who loves a photo op? It's Pete Buttigieg. And I'm going to give you two. I'll give you one example before I give you this one. Remember when he rode his bike to work and then there was video that he actually took a giant gas-guzzling car like halfway to work and then took his bike out of the car and then rode the bike into work? Here's another situation. So according to Politico, Pete Buttigieg, who's usually in the office, took the X9 bus commute with his two kids.
Hey, it's Pete. I'm here at the office.
In typical DC fashion, this is from Politico, in typical DC fashion, the bus broke down around North Capitol. And all the passengers had to get off and cram onto a second bus. So I'm glad that his photo op, he really got a true experience. I don't think that was his goal. I think he just wanted to get a quick picture. But I'm glad he got the authentic transportation experience in D.C. And I'm sure that it didn't get him down for too long because he can still walk his dog and enjoy all D.C. has to offer. He doesn't have to worry about crime like the rest of everybody, the rest of the residents in D.C. 844-500-4242. Before we go into Uncle Jim Biden and his latest issues, I wanted to go to Dave. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Dave?
Hi, Grace. So if you go to a school board meeting as a parent because your daughter was raped in a bathroom, you're wrestled to the ground and arrested. If you are attending a Latin Catholic mass, you're a domestic terrorist. But the FBI and the DOJ, they're not involved with students smashing through windows and breaking, you know, violating the campus and the buildings at Columbia University. So it all fits.
It does indeed, Dave, and you're dead on the money there. And if people don't know the first story that Dave's referring to, Luke Rosiak was on our show about it, but you should just read the report. I think it was in the, I think he's Daily, I want to say Daily Wire. And that's a crazy story out of, I believe, Virginia. But yeah, this is the double standard that we're all used to. If anyone in that crowd of pro-Palestinian activists had a MAGA hat, or, you know, was a praying grandma with a Trump flag around her shoulders, I'm sure Christopher Wray would put any trips he had on hold to make sure he investigated. Maybe this is a situation, Jared, where they can't really look into, they're not able to figure out who the students were who were breaking in through Hamilton Hall because it happened at night. And as Merrick Garland told us, when things happen at night, it's hard to figure out. You know, that's the level they're at. It comes down to the will. It's the same thing at the border. Like, we know when these members of our federal agencies, whether you're talking about Merrick Garland, the DOJ, whether you're talking about Christopher Wray and the FBI, when these people want to, they can get things done. And I'm gonna compare it to something else. And I always go back to this one, but it's stuck in my head for some reason. Remember when Ted Cruz went to Cancun and it was like a national story? Ted Cruz left Texas high and dry during a power outage to go to Cancun. He's the worst person in the world. For a minute, he was up there with like Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. People hated him. And there was a bunch of journalists who were looking into whether or not his dog, his little like Bichon Frise, had been left at home without water. And it ended up being the dog was fine, you know, like normal people would. They had someone coming over to give the dog food and water. But I remember when the whole story was breaking, somebody on social media posted it and said, when these journalists want to be, they can be Woodwards. Like, they can go Watergate on something if they want to. And you can apply that same thing to the FBI. Think about January 6th, the facial recognition, the combing through the Facebook posts. When they want to, they can get things done. And they can get things done fast. But when it comes to who planted the J6 bombs, who leaked the SCOTUS hearing or the SCOTUS ruling on Roe versus Wade, the opinion? When it comes to the Nord, what does KJP call it? The Nordstrom pipeline? All of these other things, we will never know. It's like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know. And there's a reason for that. Aaron Chadbourne was filling in for Howie yesterday, and he brought that up. He said, whenever you get a story, you should always be asking, why did they want this out there? Like, who wanted this out there? How did this get into the media, into the hands of these journalists? And the truth is, going back to what that caller said, the FBI have no problem focusing in and getting to the bottom of stuff that really doesn't matter. Like, I think they prefer to spend their time, you know, you give them the school shooter update, you say, hey, listen, there's a person who I really think is going to commit a school shooting. They may or may not take that under consideration. You tell them about Larry Nassar and all the abuse going on with that creepazoid. They may or may not really care. It's going to be put on the back burner. But if they get the sense of, like, a Russian bot put up a meme of Hillary Clinton, they are on that like white on rice. They can't be stopped. They're determined. They're motivated. You just got to figure out the right things to motivate them. So, yeah, I don't think that the FBI will be looking into the people on American soil, on American campuses, chanting for the death of Jews, chanting for the Intifada, telling Jewish students that they can't get through. And that's the other part of this conversation that drives me nuts, is this whole idea of freedom of speech. Carol Markowitz put it so well when she said, it's strange that this is going to be like this is going to be the beginning of this new chapter of freedom of speech at these campuses. It all starts with Jew hatred. We weren't for freedom of speech when, you know, Ben Shapiro wanted to come and give a talk. Then it was out of the question. But now that you're all chanting about how much you hate the Jews, suddenly freedom of speech is very important to us. It's a bedrock. It's part of the bedrock of our campus, of our mission statement. And they do not care. They're going to let these radical progressives run the campuses into the ground, and they deserve it. Like yesterday when I saw the video footage of these masked up pro-terrorist nuts slamming down with the hammers, cracking in through Hamilton Hall, unfurling their banners. So, someone on social media, I know I keep saying that, but there was so much great stuff yesterday. Somebody posted and said, these schools deserve absolutely everything that's happening to them. This is what you promoted. This is what you created. Revolutions eat their own. Don't look at me. I wasn't the one egging these people on for years and years and years. How about the protester who had a sign that said, called out some professor and said, we're just doing what you taught us. That is this whole issue in a nutshell. It's like, this is what you taught these kids to do. You taught them to hate their country. You taught them to hate Jewish people. Now they're just, you know, implementing it. Like Jared said, it's a work study. You know how you get a point, Jared, or you could add things to your grade if you did internships towards the end of a semester? This is their internship. We're showing you what wonderful social justice warriors we are in real life. All right, let's get to James Biden before I let him slip through the cracks.
Well, to be fair, James, Jimothy.
He's my Fredo. He'll always be my Fredo. Sorry, Chris Cuomo. Move over. There's a new brother in town. James Biden listed his job as brother of Joe in flawless presentation for Qatar, according to emails. So he had a pitch for Qatar to invest $30 million in a troubled hospital provider. Who amongst us hasn't put together a PowerPoint for Qatar to invest in a troubled hospital chain? It's a tale as old as time when you really think about it. And a colleague gushed about it after he drafted a presentation that included brother of now President Biden among his credentials. James Biden pumped AmeriCorps Health for $600,000 in what the firm said was loans in 2018 and wrote a check for $200,000 of that amount to Joe Biden at the same time James was seeking out foreign investors. On March 10th, James Biden's wife, Sarah, who, by the way, doesn't seem like the brightest bulb either. They seem like a match made in heaven as far as this goes. They deserve each other. I don't know who's blowing whose cover. You know what I mean? Like, they're both so not sneaky. Sarah emailed a draft investor presentation to the Platinum Group with what she called a few minor revisions by Jim. So they were in business together, husband and wife duo. The presentation said AmeriCorps was seeking $30 million and described Jim Biden as the brother and campaign finance chair of former Vice President Joe Biden. They're always trying to tell us, like, Joe had nothing to do with this. Wasn't Jim the one who talked about plausible deniability? You write brother of Joe Biden in your presentation? I feel like even Hunter sees this and goes, Uncle Jim, come on, man. That's amateur hour. You're getting a little... Hunter Biden, who left his laptop everywhere except for his own house, is looking at Uncle Jim going, you can't be this sloppy. You know, you've got to clean up your act. You've got to really cross your T's and dot your I's, man. Talk about trading off the family name. But the part of this that I find so amazing is that we made fun of Jim Biden because, remember, he said he had a 50-year career in a variety of business ventures. And yesterday I said he reminds me of one of those contestants on The Bachelorette who underneath their name it will say, like, Joe Smith, entrepreneur. And I think that means he doesn't have a job because I don't know what – that it's too vague. Like, you got to give us a little bit more specific. Well, I think that was us being generous. He's actually worse than that. Imagine your LinkedIn profile just saying, like, brother of – Joe, and by the way, in that same statement where Jim Biden said, I have had a 50-year career in a variety of business ventures. Tell me you're a con artist without telling me you're a con artist. That's what that is. He also followed that up by saying, Joe Biden has never had any involvement or any direct or indirect financial interest in those activities. None. Then why did you feel it necessary to inform Cutter that you were the brother of Joe Biden if he had no involvement in this whatsoever? Luckily, I think we're going to get some testimony from Uncle Jim Fredo Biden very soon. 844-500-4242. On May 17, 2018, James Biden wrote to AmeriCorps CEO Grant White that he was still working to raise money for the company. I agreed to go to Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and China at my own expense. Ooh, a Biden paying his own way. I've never heard of this before. The GOP probe is focused on evidence that Joe Biden met with foreign partners of Hunter and James Biden from two Chinese government-backed ventures and their associates from Mexico, Russia, and Ukraine. Most of those meetings occurred while Joe Biden was the sitting VP and leading U.S. foreign policy toward the countries involved. But again, this is all what the Democrats call no evidence of any sort of influence peddling, no evidence of the Bidens trading off of Joe Biden's position and name. It's allowed if you're a Democrat. You know, Maria Bartiromo said it this weekend to Jim Jordan. She said, you know, we're all sick of hearing about all this stuff and nothing ever happens. And he really, his response, you know, it doesn't make me happy, but he wasn't lying when he said there's not really a lot we can do. We can present this evidence to the American people, but if the American people don't want to listen to us, our hands are kind of tied. We'll be right back. I want to talk about CNN's latest poll that has the Biden administration really nervous. It shows that there's a nostalgia for Donald Trump's presidency, believe it or not. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got hot. He wasn't gonna show all them pics, but Hunter got hot. He should have let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, Hunter got hot. Hunter got hot. Hunter got hot. He never could pay worth the f. Hunter got hot.
Afro Man did a little remix of Then I Got High. Obviously, Hunter got high. And it's going viral, which I don't think shocks
crack,
anyone.
You never go back.
844-500-4242. I did want to mention here, you know, we're talking about Columbia. We're talking about the upheaval on these campuses. And based off the 1 a.m., I don't know what do we call 1 a.m. now? I know Jen Psaki doesn't think it's the middle of the night, technically speaking, early morning. The hammer to the glass door at Hamilton Hall.
It's hammer time, obviously.
It's hammer time. I forgot to mention that based off my knowledge of January 6th, this does meet the definition of insurrection, does it not? Because they were obstructing proceedings. It wasn't any sort of congressional proceeding, but they were, you know, doing damage here. Mika Brzezinski said that they reminded her of January 6th. So I'm just curious why I don't see that word being floated around a lot. Like, someone tell Reuters and AP and CNN, insurrection is the word you're all looking for. I know you confuse it with another word often, but this is what I'm seeing, at least. A U.S. Marshal among four law enforcement officers killed in shooting near Charlotte. I'm going to read here from the New York Post. It says an agent with U.S. Marshals and three police officers were killed Monday, and four other officers were wounded when they were met with a hail of bullets while trying to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. Some of the officers were gunned down in a second surprise round of gunfire after the first officer shot and killed the wanted suspect in the initial barrage of bullets in a front yard in the quiet suburban neighborhood, officials said. Horrible, horrible. And in the press conference, the police chief said, today we lost some heroes that were out there simply trying to keep our community safe. To me, it's the most tragic day that I've been involved in. And it's so sad because this is happening in so many communities across the country. Actually, in Syracuse, the police, the head of the police union there said something similar when Joe Biden was coming. And he did end up going, by the way, to promote the CHIPS Act. And this head of the police union said, can you give us a minute here? This is the most tragic week. They lost two officers in a week in a similarly horrible situations. And he said, can you give us a minute to catch our breath? Like, could you pick a worse time, basically, is what he was trying to say. And of course, Joe Biden is not interested in, you know, showing any sort of empathy. The empathizer in chief, not really his strong suit. So he showed up anyway. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Lisa. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Lisa?
Hi, Grace. You stole my thunder. I wanted to crack you up, but it should be called Hamilton Hall. Okay. We're renaming it Hamilton Hall.
I like it, Lisa. If people miss this, that's the footage that's coming out. But I would argue that actually the sound from UT is even crazier. This is the sound. They had to pull each one of these students out because they were all kind of surrounding each other. So it was making it hard for the police to pull them out and arrest them. Can I get cut four, please, Jared? Graduation season is going to be weird. If it happens at all. When we come back, we're going to talk about the latest poll that shows there's nostalgia for Trump's first term and a massive scandal out of Los Angeles. Don't go anywhere. Plus, Toby Leary joins us next.